identify some areas of research that would document the extent of racial and ethnic health care disparities and try to evaluate potential solutions for those disparities. At the same time, we started to take a look at and fund efforts to understand the extent to which healthcare organizations, hospitals, health plans, et cetera, were collecting race and ethnicity data on their patients to identify gaps in care. Looks like maybe my slides have caught up with me, so let's see here. Okay, great. There we are. Okay. So, as I mentioned, we started to fund healthcare institutions who were collecting race and ethnicity data to take a look at, again, in their institution where there were gaps in care. After that, we have started funding a series of learning projects with hospitals specifically around the country to test interventions to improve quality of care for patients, specifically underserved patients. And most recently, we've started working in 20 regions around the country to improve health care in both inpatient and outpatient settings that, again, focuses on disparities. At the same time, because RWJ is interested in both health care and in health, we have a certain area of our funding strategy, a portfolio that deals specifically with looking at the needs of vulnerable populations, and this is where much of our health disparities work has been focused. The vulnerable populations portfolio looks at promising ideas that cut across both health and health care and looks at where the intersection of health and social factors exist. In areas specifically looking at poverty and education and housing that affect society's most vulnerable populations. In this portfolio, we identify and develop new ideas and models that can be sustained, diffused, and replicated in other places. And we also fund clusters of grants in specific areas. So for example, in recent years, we've looked at the areas of supportive housing, of immigrants and refugees, and of violence prevention. But this is where a lot of our work in the last several years around the area of health disparities has focused at RWJ. So this, both of these different areas, both in the healthcare area and funding healthcare institutions, as well as looking in communities and looking at health disparities, has served as the backdrop for our foundation to think about what it is that we wanted to do next that would build on the foundation that we had already established in this area and really expand it into places where we hadn't funded before. So I share this framework, and you'll see it again at the end of the presentation, and probably many of you are familiar with this framework for thinking about a broader view of health disparities and the influences on health and health outcomes. At the bottom, you see both medical care, which again has been the main focus of much of our health care disparities work, and personal behaviors, which RWJ has been involved with over the years in the area of tobacco cessation, now childhood obesity, alcohol and other substance abuse. So we've done a fair amount of work looking at both health care as well as personal behaviors and health risks. But one of the things that we started to run up against as we were doing, as we were funding various projects and interventions, were that the broader influences had as much as, if not a greater impact on health outcomes as looking specifically at the kind of care that gets delivered through healthcare organizations and looking at an individual's personal behaviors. So we started thinking more about some of those broader influences, which include living and working conditions in home, schools, and communities, and a lot of our childhood obesity work focuses on this now. And also looking at, again, a broader view of economic and social opportunities and resources, and thinking about child and youth development education and economic development to reduce poverty, just as examples. So we're using this framework as a broad framework in thinking about the work as a commission and how we might approach addressing healthcare disparities. So what have we learned so far? We've spent several months, actually even longer, about a year so far, thinking about this issue and thinking about the commission. And we've begun to talk to some of our target audiences, which for this commission will be policymakers, to learn what they think about these issues. And I believe one of our other presenters is going to talk a little bit more about some of the background research that we've done so far. But we've started to talk to some of our target audiences about the idea of a commission and what would be important to address in it. And these are some of the things that we've learned so far, which again are some backdrop for our work and how we're shaping the commission the way that we are. The first thing that we've learned, which I think in this audience will come as no surprise, is that there's really a lack of awareness about these broader social and economic factors that influence health. When you talk about health or specifically health disparities, often people think about health care disparities. They think about the kind of care that an individual receives when they go into a health plan, a doctor's office, a hospital, an emergency room, et cetera. And there's little distinction between health and health care, and often a lack of awareness about the fact that these broader influences have a lot to do with ultimate health outcomes. There's also a strong feeling amongst many of the people that we've begun to talk to that personal responsibility is very important, and that ultimately individuals are the only players responsible for their own health and well-being. So there's a lack of awareness about some of these broader influences beyond the individual and personal responsibility. And finally, again, some of the people that we've been talking to over the last year have cited the need for a bridge between different both ideological perspectives and political perspectives around issues of health disparities, and that we need to take an approach that will address, again, parties on either side of the ideological spectrum as well as the political spectrum. So we've been thinking about that feedback that we've received so far, and have started to think about why this is a particularly opportune time to develop and implement something like a national commission. You know, I have to tell you that my colleagues on the stage, which I'm very pleased and honored to be a part of this commission, are some of the reasons why their work is some of the reasons why we were very influenced as a foundation in getting involved in this area, and probably many the work of many of you in this audience as well. That, you know, in the last several years and decade, that there has been a critical mass of scientific knowledge pointing to how social factors affect health and these broader influences on health. And there have been a lessons developing both in this country and abroad that we felt would be very instrumental and important to us as we developed a commission. We also thought that this was a particularly opportune time because in the next several years there will be a number of both policy and legislative activities going on that will take a look at both health and well-being of children and families at local, state, and national levels that will help influence what happens ultimately with specific laws that are passed or policies that are developed. And we felt that because of those activities happening over the next several years, that this, again, was a great time to focus on this. We feel that there's been an increase in media attention. I know that in the last year or two, we've certainly noticed that there are more media outlets that are focusing on some of, again, some of these broader factors. And, of course, with the presidential campaign next year and a variety of other campaigns, there's an opportunity to put some of these bigger issues on the national agenda, including improving health and healthcare and some of the issues that we're going to be talking about. So that was some of our reason for thinking about why now. One of the other things that we thought about is, well, why a commission? The foundation had sponsored a number of different grant-making in the area of both health and healthcare disparities. And so we thought a lot about the idea of why a national commission might be something that would be a good next step for us. And there are several reasons why we decided this is a good next step. First of all, we thought that a commission could really be a catalyst that would provide, if you will, the ability to connect the dots between the multiple influences on health and try to get over some of the silos of issues that in health and healthcare seem to exist. So we felt that a commission could really help address and connect the dots between those various silos. We also felt that a commission could serve a major role in raising visibility and awareness about some of these issues that, as I mentioned, seem to have been relatively invisible in the national discourse. And so we felt that a commission could really both raise that discussion broadly, but also make it more accessible to policymakers who, again, seem to not be as aware of some of these issues. And then finally, we felt that a commission could really help develop some ideas and solutions that would look at the ability to cut across ideologies and parties to address some of the problems that we see. So those are some of our reasons for why thinking a commission is something that we should focus on now. So last October, just almost exactly a year ago, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation board approved this commission, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Commission to Build a Healthier America. It's a two-year national effort to engage both public and private policymakers in nonpartisan discussions about how to promote conditions that would offer all Americans opportunities for good health. The effort is going to focus, as I mentioned, on social and economic factors that affect the individual's health and really on some of those, the broader aspects of that framework that I mentioned earlier. So what are the goals of this commission? Well, there are really four of them. The first one is, as I mentioned, to increase knowledge about the relationships between social and economic factors and health and well-being. And as I mentioned, we really have heard that there is this lack of awareness, so we think that that's a really important role that a commission could play. Secondly, we hope that by raising some of the visibility that it will generate concern and motivate efforts to address problems of health disparities. And I think that this combined with many other activities that are going on right now can help generate some concern to do something about some of the problems that are faced. Third, we hope that it helps to foster and inform constructive dialogue at all levels, national, state, and local levels, about ways that we can reduce inequalities and address some solutions. And then finally, we hope that the commission will identify and prioritize some adoption of potential both individual, public, and private sector policies and solutions. So in just thinking a little bit about why RWJ is interested in this area, I want to leave you with a quote from Steve Schroeder, who is a professor at UCSF, but also the former Robert Wood Johnson Foundation president and CEO. He gave a recent lecture that was recently published talking about why this work is so important. And this is a quote from his lecture that he gave. Looking at why improving population health would be more than just looking at data or numbers. It could enhance the productivity of the workforce and boost the national economy, reduce healthcare expenditures, and most important, improve people's lives. But in the absence of a strong political voice from the less fortunate themselves, it's incumbent on healthcare professionals. Steve is a healthcare professional, but I read that more broadly as everyone in this room on health professionals to become champions for population health. The sense of purpose resonates with our deepest professional values. And he ends by saying, you know, Americans take great pride in asserting that we're number one in terms of wealth, in terms of Nobel Prizes and military strength. Why don't we want to become number one in health? And I think that was a very compelling thought for us as well as we started to enter into creating the RWJF Commission to Build a Healthier America, that we think there is a lot more to health than health care, and we're really delighted to be almost ready to launch the commission in the very near future. I'm really excited about the potential of the commission to work beyond the healthcare system and to address some of those broader perspectives related to health outcomes.